Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Aleph Tammuz, Thursday, the 14th of June, Rabbi Osher Chaim Levine, Social Media Part 2, Attractions and Distractions.
Chodesh, everybody.
That's Chodesh.
Around about 20 odd years ago, when I was first entered the workforce, a long time ago, had a lot more hair then, I had an application for a job, and one of the questions it asked me was, if you have to, this was a good middle of the 90s, mid-90s, it said, if you have to teach your grandmother how to use the internet, which had just only become there, advise us how exactly you're going to be able to convince your granny, your 85-year-old grandmother, to use the internet. That was the question. And the idea was to try and get out from you exactly how you'd be able to provide the information and the pitch, the 7 points. Yeah. I don't think there's a problem nowadays trying to tell anybody that now. It's ubiquitous, everybody knows about it, and the youngsters are into the social media, which, as we talked about last time, is all about the trying to identify themselves, the superficiality, their branding, and which gives them validation. And what we did was last time was we contrasted between the difference between Yaakov Avinu and Esav, and mentioned that we're in Golas Edoim. And Golas Edoim is characterized by superficiality, where everybody is in for themselves, the chitzonius rather than the pnimius, and the importance for us to try and differentiate ourselves from them. I'd like to now just try and go a little bit further on this and try and address the dazzling array, maybe the word dazzling is wrong, the endless array of attractions and distractions which are found in the internet and social media. And also, they bombard the model person. And the question is exactly, how are we meant to deal with this? The question is, do you know any, I'm throwing the question out there, do any of you know any non-Jew who is age appropriate, who is not on the internet for hashkafic reasons? Anybody? What? Right, okay, fine. As you can see, there's a yechidim you can find. But the majority of people, it is something which has so much entered the culture, sociological, that it has revolutionized the whole world. And it's important for us to try and understand what is this great attraction, and which sometimes often leads to addiction, and is there anything we can do to counter that, the negative influence, the impact upon it, or are we fighting a lost case? And what I'd like to try and do today is to, for my granny, right, question, how exactly, what are the four main areas, the four core areas that are provided, the services that are provided by social media and the internet, and with that realization, we can then address it from a Torah Hashkafic perspective to see how we're meant to look at it. And I think the Ikar bit is to, the way to remember this is using the Rosh HaTevis, or the acronym, for those who enjoy the English name, the acronym acrostic, CORE, C-O-R-E. C stands for connectivity, O stands for open door policy, R stands for resources, and E stands for entertainment. These are the four core areas which the internet and social media provide. Let's look at each single one individually and then see how we can appreciate this. The first is connectivity. There's a sense of belonging. Yeah, that you are connected, you're related, not only to your mishpacha, but you're related to somebody on the other side of the world. There's a global village. We belong to in a very small world. Every single thing has come down. All barriers, all cultures have come down. And we're all in one mishpacha. And there's whether you're LinkedIn, whether you're WhatsApp groups, subgroups, etc. You know, you belong. There's the idea of chabra chabra isle. You know, you've got this friend, you've got this friend, etc. So who you know, who you associate with, and making sure you have connections in high places. That's the connectivity aspect on it. And there's a camaraderie. There's also the pressure to always be online 24/7. There's no turning off. Wherever you go, you need to have broadband, you need to be connected, there needs to be Wi-Fi connections. And it's all about, you see something nice, what do you have to do? You have to share it with somebody else. This takes the famous Uncle Moshe song, which I'm sure you know. You share, I share. Come on. We all share together, right? That takes it to a whole new level, right? Nowadays, you have to share every single thing someone sends you. Doesn't make a difference what shtusim it is. I have to be connected to somebody else. If you see this lady with shugas, this shtusim, I have to spread it to somebody else. That's the first aspect, which is the connectivity angle. The second main feature of the internet is the idea of open doors. That provides, the internet provides the platform for the free flow of digital information and communications. There are no boundaries, it's universal. I don't know if anybody coined this phrase for the internet. If they haven't, I have. It's for everyone, by everyone. That's what it is. It's for everybody. Everybody can join it. It's part of the big club. You don't have to be separated from it if you don't want to. And this leads to a wave of hefkeiros. Every single thing is permissible. Permissibility permeates aspects. All ideas, all opinions, all lifestyles, whatever you want, the whole caboodle, every single thing is equal, it's valid, and it's mamish a balaga. Right? Every single thing, just lump every single thing in there and just spread it out and broadcast it to the whole world. And this exposure to the world, even leaving aside a Torah perspective on it and the schmutz involved, it's just the exposure, it highlights both the best and the worst in humanity. You can see mekotzer lekotzer, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever you want is there. And in a subliminally, subconsciously, the internet is what I can call the great equalizer. What it does is, it's like it's the melting pot. It's a place, the forum, where everybody, doesn't make a difference, your background, your education or not, can all join together. Everyone is about daya. Every single person can blog whatever they want to do. And it's equally valid. You can say what you say. I can say what I say. And I'm more of an expert. Mechadesa, how do you see that? But what it does do is even though this is cross-boundary and therefore everybody is equal together, that it appeals to the lowest common denominator, which is why in social media, all of the hate, sinna, kinna, erva, you name it, is all being spread upon that. And you can much see the ugly face of humanity which permeates this area. And also, there's no shame. It's open doors, there's no busha whatsoever. It lowers person to a base animal, chas v'shalom. Yeah? And it doesn't treat a person being created b'tzelem elokim as being somewhat godly. And therefore, since there's no shame, as we discussed last time, there's no private world. There's no reshus hayochid whatsoever. Every single thing is in the open. It's instantaneously available to everybody. It's there for public consumption. It's there. There's availability the whole time. You want to go shopping? You can go online. You want to know what the traffic's going to be? You're going to wait. You want to know what the weather is? You can check it as well. Whatever you want, it's all there. You want to check your business, the stocks, the stock markets? Every single thing is there, instantly available. So there's open doors. Yeah, nothing is. It's all hakol golu v'yodua. Sorry, maybe I'm taking that out of context. So that's the second aspect. So the first aspect is the connectivity that the internet provides. The second is the open door policy. The third is resources. However much you want to knock the internet, one thing you can't is recognizing that this provides an instant, constant, free flow of information that's with easy access. From a professor to a cleaner, you want to find something, it's almost likely, except for this chassid, obviously Torah, it's online. And so therefore, to a certain extent, what's the point of being educated? Nowadays, people are very confident. I don't know something, that's not a problem. I've got a search engine. I can search, research, yeah? Which basically means do a Google search, yeah? And then instantaneously, I'm a maven, I know what's going on. So what's the point of educating myself beforehand? It's instantaneously available. Indeed, the wealth of information out there is absolutely staggering. There is more information out there, instantly accessible in the palm of a person's hands, more than the best libraries that have ever existed. It's incredible resource skill. Every topic is out there, and for somebody who is curious, the internet is a boon for them. That's the second thing, which is the third thing, which is resources. The fourth thing is the concept of entertainment. And the internet allows the imagination to run riot. It's escapism from the real world. You immerse yourself in the glorious realization of an alternative universe, which can be one that you've manufactured yourself. Yeah, It is CGI, it's highly realistic, it's highly visual, and it's all immersive. So that's the entertainment, which often provides an excuse for a physical indulgence into a person's taivas, and it lowers a person down to the level of an animal and strips the person of all of his humanity, b'tzem elokim, and just treats him as a shtick flesh. More than that, entertainment also means that we are people of leisure. We've got so much time which we can do, and we can distract ourselves. We can look and search and find a new experience, a new bit of information that we hadn't previously come across. And a person fills himself with innate pastimes and mindless games, which distracts him. So that is the four core elements of the internet, which is the connectivity, the open doors, the resources, and the entertainment which it provides. That provides Bittelsmann, which I'll come on to. Absolutely, absolutely. So how do we address it? How do we address this addiction that it is? And if we understand what it's providing, that will just give us an outlook to address it. Not to give all the solutions, but to address what is the problem and to try and provide some solutions. So how do we address these core, pardon the pun, components? So the starting off point is, I think is important, is to differentiate for ourselves between what is real and what is imaginary. What is everlasting, what is temporary, what is essential, and what is non-essential. Only last Shabbos, Rabbi Eichenstein was here, and he said a beautiful thought. He said, Chazal say, Im ein das, havdolah minayim. Yeah? Now, the idea is, if there isn't das, then how do you know how to differentiate? But he said, there's an extra knetch on this. It means, if there's no das, if you don't know what you stand for, yeah, then havdolah minayim. How are you going to be then able to differentiate yourself from somebody else? If you don't know what you stand for, how can you set yourself apart? If you recognize as a yid that you're manechas kohanim goy kodosh, then you can begin to say, well, this is what I stand for. So it could be that what's on the internet and social media is not for me. But that requires a person to first clarify for themselves, what's your Torah outlook to life? Who am I? What do I stand for? And is there, what's out there, is it for me? And if it is for me, how am I going to filter and make sure I take what is good and leave what is bad and ugly behind? And to do this, like with everything in life, it requires a person to put on a pair of glasses. These are called Torah glasses. And it means you have to see every single thing. You can't see properly. And the glasses that you have adjust your vision so that you can now see it from a Torah cook, from a Torah perspective, a viewpoint, which adjusts the sights and tells you, gives you an insight, how exactly am I meant to confront this and see it? We know that Chavis Lavovis mentions that the greatest enemy a person ever faces is his Yetzer Hara. And we have to know his tricks and his devices in order to counteract him. But the first important part is to recognize what is real and what is imaginary. And over here, the famous opening of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's Igera Samutza, a very famous line, a person is free in vis-à-vis his imagination, but he is bound by his intellect. In other words, when a person is imagining, if a person's dreaming, yeah, you can be from one side of the universe to the other side, and yeah, everything that things that are physically impossible become real and become possible. Masha Enkin, if a person is b'miskolei, he has a seichel, he sees what is my life, and what is the surroundings I'm dealing with, he has to confront it, he has to be real about this. And I think this is the approach to start looking at the internet, which is recognizing that whilst we occupy real physical space, the internet is cyberspace. What does that mean? You can't point to it. It's there. There's a platform. It's certainly present, but it's not there. There's no mamushes to it. It's an imaginary, it's an artificial world rather than a real world. And we have to address and accept that we live in a real world and confront the issues that the real world provides us and grow from that. We mustn't closet ourselves, you know, by enveloping ourselves in an imaginary dimension, however nice and dreamlike that might be. In terms of relationships, social media is all about having Facebook friends, which are all superficial and illusionary. There's no commitment. Yes, I say I'm your friend as well, but you say something I don't like, then immediately I become ois friend, right? And no longer I become your soina. Mashenkin, in the real world, for real life relationships to work between husband and wife, between a parent and a child, yeah, between an employee and an employer, that requires real human beings. You can actually see, interact properly without the facade of the internet or machinery. It also means recognizing that we're all enamored by technology. And again, let's not knock technology, it provides us with incredible, incredible tools. But the nafkamina is that if we look at this world, the natural world, this is the world that God's built. If we're looking at technology, this is the world that man built. There's a massive nafkamina between the two. Nature is made by God for man. Technology is made by man for man. It's self-serving. It's all about your thing. It's not connecting to the Bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and dealing with the Bria and seeing how I'm meant to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this Bria. The difference between what is fact and what is fiction. The internet is all about fiction. Even the facts which the media outlets provide are often an incredible work of fiction which are canvassing and feigning as if they are really real. But it's all that one big bluff, one big show. Even when it comes to the news, yeah, it's all about getting the photo shoot. It's all about playing to the cameras. It's being on a world stage. There's nothing real in that. If we're dealing with facts, you're dealing with reality. And if you're dealing with reality, you adopt an adult approach to this. And this is very important because each one of us, a lot of people, we live in our imagination. We're enamored by imagination. And some adults, when they grow up, they still remain children. They still are in the world of imagination. And we can understand that. It's a fantastical world. It's a dreamlike. There's no progress. There's no development. There's no growth at all within a person. An adult approach says, yes, this world could be a lot of grit necessary, but I have to be realistic. I have to face the challenges. I have to grow from them. And my outlook on life is that I'm here for a purpose. I have to contemplate something meaningful and what's there for the long term. I'm not here to have fun. I'm not here to have my happiness is not important. I'm not here to have short-term pleasure. And that's the nafkamina, that what the internet provides is often it's all playtime, all recreational activities. It's as if it's Shabbos already, which you can relax. This is all the leisure aspect on it. Rather than saying, no, Hayom la'asoyson, mokal chabetzcha. Hayom is today, olam hazeh, all about work. Yeah, let's continue working. There's no time for it's all work and no play. We are the week before Shabbos, which is Ein Olam Haba. And therefore, that gives us a sense of morality and a sense of ethics. Yeah? Masha Enkein, the cyberspace, whatever's out there, it's amoral or immoral. It's aimless, wandering. There's no sense of direction where I'm living. And therefore, if a person is living with a Torah cook and he's looking at the world the way it is, he's looking at it with a firm, standing up to his convictions, rather than being something wishy-washy. Okay, if I don't like this site, I can go to see another site. And therefore, our exposure. If we do have principles, we do have scruples, things are important to us, we're obviously not going to allow exposure, unfiltered exposure, to every single thing that comes in. We obviously try to make ourselves insular as much as possible and to put protective barriers in order to make sure we safeguard those values that are important for us. And therefore, if that's the case, we will make sure that we don't get distracted and that other outside attractions don't stifle us from going where we're meant to be doing. This is the definition as to what the main key features of what the internet does and its approach. We can get an insight in terms of how we're meant to deal with it and the Yetzer Hara Shaboy within that. Which also is that, like the Rabbi Sol Salanter says, if a person gives into his dimyonos, then that takes him away. It drags him here, it drags him there. He's not in control. But if he's Musav and Meskola, he binds himself with his seichel. He thinks the whole time. He has a Torah approach to every single thing. He thinks before he goes ahead. Then that enables a person to approach things from a Torah outlook. And then he can be a little bit more discerning and critical rather than accept every single thing the way it is. The Yetzer Hara tries to appeal to a person's base instincts, to his dimyon. It tries to distract him. It tries to make sure he deviates from the straight and narrow, as they say. And it's like the famous story of a king who wanted to test somebody, his minister, so he gave him access to the royal treasury and told him, you have 1 hour, and whatever you can take, it belongs to you. So he goes in very enthusiastic, starts collecting every single thing, and then the king puts lots of obstacles in his way. So there's a beautiful orchestra playing. He said, okay, I just have to listen to this beautiful music before I proceed. And then there's delicious fruit provided for him, all different types of distractions which deviate him, veer him off the course from amalgamating as many, many treasuries as he can. So too, our life is finite, and therefore it's up to us to make sure we don't waste our time and we make use of what it is. And the internet, what the internet does, and it's very, very subtle, what it does is its whole message, even subliminally, is all a Yetzirah approach. The taiva, the attraction, the distraction. It's very emotive. It stimulates the senses rather than the mind. Yeah? It doesn't allow you to think. The internet is there. It feeds into you, feeds me. Right? Just feed me on a silver platter. I have to be a passive recipient. Yeah, it doesn't require any work for me. Just feed in the images, feed in the information, and I'll just be completely, totally receptive. That's not the Torah approach. We need to see, well, am I going to accept what it is? If it's Lashon Hara, I have to close my ears. If it's a sight I can't see, Shemira Sinaim. I have to be discerning about it. The internet is attention-grabbing. Yeah? It's gloss, it's hype, it vies for your attention. It screams, look at me! Yeah, and it hooks you, and then when it hooks you, it schleps you around and doesn't let go. That's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is called, cool. First he's a hoilech, he's outside. Then he becomes a reach, he becomes a guest if you invite him in. And then he becomes the balabos. Then he takes over and this becomes to him. In that aspect, it's interesting. You could say that internet addiction is similar to something similar called to the Stockholm syndrome. Has anybody heard of this?
Yeah.
Right. So just very briefly, in 1973... in a bank called Credit Banken in Stockholm, there was a convict called John Erik Olsen, and he more or less held up four hostages there for 6 days. And even though he tortured them with various dynamite and other bits and pieces as well, they developed this irrational psychological alliance with the captor to the extent when they were finally released, the hostages refused to testify against their captors. That this is symptomatic of the Yetzirah, right? He brings you in. He makes you a friend. He's holding you hostage. You don't even know it. You don't realize it. He mamash becomes, I get to France. He becomes, you know, let me show you this as well. We don't realize that Rio, unfortunately, suffering from what's called the Stockholm syndrome. And therefore, the way to combat this, one of the ways to combat it is, and I don't mind saying this, it's good old-fashioned Musa. I don't necessarily mean the fire and brimstone aspect on it, although that sometimes can also be good, but the Musa aspect of being critical, analysing what a person's going to be doing, and therefore I would repeatedly advise you, if you haven't done it again, going through the Mesirus HaSharim's first chapter, in Ramchal's first chapter, Mesirus HaSharim. It's so beautiful. It's not information which we don't know. Right, you said Chassidus b'shoresh ha'avoda atzmimahi sheyisbar v'yisamid etz la'odom machavos ha'olamai. A person always has to contemplate, what are my duties in this world? Where am I heading? What is my life all about? That olam hazeh klal shadov ha'odom lo nivra b'avo matzav yesh b'olam hazeh. A person's not created for your matzav in this world. This world is not what is here. You're here for dveikus b'Hashem, to see the future, which is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't be enticed by the Yetzirah. We have to remember, if we can realize this, the Yetzirah is one big bluff, one big illusion. If we know where we stand for, then we can fight his darkness with light. We can fight his superficiality with substance, and we can fight his imagination with reality. We are the ones that arm the Yetzirah. We give him power. So let us be the ones to disarm him, to strip away that power, to expose him as a fraud, and to say, you're not for me. And that requires us, if the core, those three, the four main areas we mentioned beforehand, the core stands for connectivity, open doors, resources, and entertainment, then how do we approach it? In terms of connectivity, let's not superficiality, let's not get involved in superficial relationships. Yeah? Well, let us, something that's real, connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connectivity to the Torah, being connected to our neshama. Let's connect ourselves from shtusim and connect ourselves to toichen, to what is emes, to nitzchias, and to recognize whatever temptations the Yetzirah puts in front of me, I'm connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. That's the dveikus you want. That's the dveikus to recognize I'm connected. I relate to my neshama, not to my guf. As the Mesirus HaSharim says in that first perek, he quotes a medrash in Koheles that says, "The Moshla Lomaha Davadayma." What is this analogy to? The Ironi Shenotze Bas Melech. You have a peasant who marries the princess. Even if the peasant gives whatever's in the world as a gift to his beloved wife, who's the princess, nevertheless, it's not going to have it. Why? Shehi bas melech. Tach hanefesh. She's a bas melech. We are atamam lechem. We are malchus. We have a different standard. So therefore, the hefkvelt from outside, we can't let it in. We need to live with boundaries. And in this week's Sedra, when it mentions about the Kohanim, the Levim, they have mishmeres of the Mishkan. It's not a free-for-all. There is a hierarchy of things. And you can't just come in whenever you want. In Zoro, that might come for those that don't want it. We live in boundaries. Our houses are secure from elements. So too, we want to make sure that spiritually our houses are also secure from the elements outside. And there's no shame to quarantine, the same way that a person would quarantine a contagious disease. So too, if something is dangerous, let's make sure we leave it at the door and says, Vakasha, kindish darain, don't come inside here, I don't want you. And we're dealing with the resources of the internet. It's rich. What does rich be? Rich doesn't only mean rich in money. I remember hearing from Reuven Leuchter. He said that riches means that you have endless potential, lots of resources there. So if a person, for example, is rich in Torah, it means is that he doesn't just know one mesechta, he knows the amkus, the rafchus of the Torah, kol haTorah kula. If somebody is rich in language, it means he knows he's very articulate and has lots of different expressions in order to convey the message he wants to do. So too, the internet is rich in resources. There's a tremendous amount of information out there. But a person must be besamech bechelkoi. Ezo osher samech bechelkoi. A person doesn't need to look outside in order to provide him with happiness. True happiness is where he makes sure that happiness comes within. If the happiness comes within, he won't need to look to the internet for outside validation. He won't need to look to there to provide him with happiness, with pleasure. He has whatever he needs within himself. And in this respect, whilst there is a tremendous amount of resources out there, there's a difference between curiosity and interest. What's enough, Kamina? Anybody? The difference between something that you're being curious and being interested.
Interest is tapas.
Yep.
There's a reason for it. It's
stump. Absolutely. Beautiful. So therefore the... Thank you, Uncle David. Right? It's symptomatic. Curious is not the same as interest. It's symptomatic of being unfocused. I'm curious about this. Yeah, but something, then my phone rings and there's another text someone's clicked. I'm curious about that. Then someone sends me a message. I'm curious about this. So a person doesn't remain focused in one area. The Yetzirah schleps him here and there. As we all know, curiosity killed the cat. Right? So if a person is a tightrope roper, being curious about what's happening down there is going to mean that he's going to fall down. He needs to remain on track. Klal Yisrael are called Yisrael, Yishurun. That's the idea. We have to remain straight. We have to remain on track with what with the Mesorah all of us has given us. And we mustn't deviate from that. Whatever, even though we're bombarded from what's outside, even though the Yetzirah tries to schlep us here and there. The Bittelsmann of the entertainment, the escapism. Let's be real. Torah, Meis and Tovin, those are the things that really matter. The others are distractions, surfing aimlessly in the middle of the night. It distracts you from the time. It's Bittelsmann. Nothing is worse than Bittelsmann. The Zman that we have is there for us. So in conclusion, the core values that give us our life is Dveikus Hashem. We have to be master them. We have to be in charge, in control of every single thing. And we mustn't allow the Yetzirah to take control of us. We mustn't be attracted or distracted from our mission. It's very important to remain on track. We have to stay focused. We have to be happy with who we are and what we have. And not, if we're happy with inside, like kids are happy in their home, they don't need to look for outside stimulations. And being anchored in Torah provides us so we're not swayed. So if we know what you stand for, then you'll be able to stand it. Good.